Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I am Jeff Gamet, your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I'm so excited, first, because I get to hang out with Patrice and Ben, but also because they actually showed up today. I have completely screwed up our recording schedule for today, and still, both of you are here. You are awesome. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm quite happy it is Thursday. I'm quite happy that we have the big show, the first regular show of the year. It's always fun to meet up with you. I was just wondering when you like mentioned the interim host, I'm like, at some point, I think you're gonna pull a Steve Jobs on us.
Oh, well, I mean, he is wearing a black turtleneck.
just a black t-shirt.
Yeah, it's a black. Close enough. Black.
That's really close to a turtleneck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, when are you start just going to go through limousines and have no plates out of a loophole in the law?
He's already
doing
that.
I'm not already.
Touche.
Ben, how are you?
I am great, Jeff.
Awesome. Well, I'm so glad that both of you are here. Like I said, it's just so much fun to get to hang out with you.
How are you doing, Jeff?
Oh, I'm doing.
Let's ask that question.
I'm doing all right. I could certainly do with a nap, which that's probably a bad sign because it's just a little after 10 in the morning Mountain Time right now.
Yeah, no, I would say that tracks. I mean, for me, like, I wouldn't be awake at 10. Like, I mean, I might be physically working and awake, but like mentally, I'm.
Yeah, welcome to the Big Nap Show.
That's right. Yeah, for the next how much time? For about the next 50 minutes, we're all going to snuggle up with our pillows and blankies and nap together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And our cool things will be our beds.
Oh, my bedroom is actually quite cool. So yeah.
Well, there you go.
But more like cool, not in a sense of like it's awesome, more cool in the sense of temperature. So there's that. Okay, should we talk some stories?
No.
Yes.
Yes, but not quite yet, because I want to remind everyone that we need more money coming in for the Daily News Show. So here's the deal, everyone. We are bringing in enough money right now to run shows a couple days a week. And Kyle's fantastic, an amazing resource, so professional, and just a really nice guy. So what we need to do is get more money coming in for the Daily News Show so we can get it back up to Monday through Friday, as opposed to eventually saying, well, it was a great run. And referring to it in the past tense, which would be horrible. It would truly be a tragedy. So what I'm setting as a goal, because there's clearly no one here to stop me from setting whatever goals I want. Our goal is, let's bring in $400 a month. It costs about $300. Patrice, do you recall? It's over $300. A month.
$385 is what we need at the minimum.
Okay, so $385.
Not $2 to Ben.
It's not enough. That's a start.
It's a good start. It is definitely a good start.
So $385 a month to run the show. So if we're bringing in $400, we're bringing in a little bit more every month than it takes to currently run it for 5 days a week. That means we're building up a buffer zone. So if at some point our costs increase, we aren't caught scrambling trying to come up with enough money to keep the show running. So let's get that up to $400 a month coming in, and now let's talk about some news.
Yeah, I heard there's story? A. I'll take it. I heard there's a lot of money flowing out of this place called Las Vegas.
I thought you would say Tesla, Meta, Twitter.
Well, I mean, there's definitely money flowing out of there, or at least when it comes to the stock.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff, you're going to have to post this, or Patricia, you're going to have to post this for me, and because I couldn't get into the chat room.
Oh, yeah.
So, Android users out there, have you ever thought about how awesome it would be to have a little bit of MagSafe on your Android phone? Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. That's right.
MagSafe is awesome.
Yep. Apple has essentially given MagSafe to the Wireless Power Consortium as the Qi2 standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really funny thing. Like, apparently the consortium asked Apple, and Apple just said, sure. Yeah. It's just not very Apple-like.
It doesn't seem very Apple-like, no. But at the same time, if Apple says, yeah, sure, they have a very vested reason in why they would just agree to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. And it might have something to do with the European Union.
It just yep. might.
And maybe the American government, if they can get their shit together.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, when it comes right down to it, some governmental body was going to force a wireless standard on Apple. And to be perfectly honest, it was better for Apple that they're controlling the standard than having it dictated to them.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, the standard is close in, I mean, the other way around. Apple is already pretty much, I mean, they support Qi.
Yeah.
So the bits and pieces that they're doing on top are not that much. So putting that into the new standard and saying, okay, then we're like everything, like it is the standard, everything is fine. And we don't have to deal with yet another government telling us what to do. Probably not a bad idea.
Yep. And I mean, by the accessory market, there was already a lot of interest in MagSafe mm-hmm. from the Android side. Mm-hmm. You had a lot of cases out there that would essentially put a MagSafe magnet onto those cases. So this is just going to end up making everything more uniform and cheaper for mm-hmm. everybody.
I mean,
go ahead, Patrice.
The thing is, the only thing that I can see being an issue is all the Android and manufacturers have to put magnets in their phones. Are they going to do that?
If it's we'll a see. Standard, maybe.
Hmm. Yeah, but on a, like, whatever, a $50 Android phone? Probably not.
Well, good point. And where I see that playing out, or how the way I see that playing out, is your $50 Android phone that supports wireless charging, you're buying a case for it with Qi2 built in.
Yep.
Okay. That could be.
And yeah, and actually, I think for a lot of Android phone makers, that could be their preferred method, because they can keep the primary product cost lower, and then make additional money if they're making their own cases on Qi2 mm-hmm. cases.
Yeah, that's a good question. Could they? I mean, the thing is, it's not just about Mac. I mean, Qi2 is more than just the magnets part. As far as I've understood it, there's also some like behind the scenes, like wattage increases and so on, like some updates to Qi1 basically, or to Qi1. I think, what is it, 1.3 or 4 that we're at right now? Don't remember. It's not 1.0. Yeah, but there were multiple things. But the question is, could they just add that with a case? Probably not. They could add the magnets with a case. That's definitely possible. Yeah. So they support Qi2 in a sense of the wireless charging and whatever is in Qi2, mm-hmm. but without the magnets, because you don't need that necessarily. Mm-hmm. And then they can sell like whatever, a $50 case and say, hey, if you want this as well, here's a case.
You know, I think for a lot of people, Qi to or MagSafe just means there's magnets that hold the charger to the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. and that's enough. So
which it's not.
Right.
It's more.
It's more, but for like the average Android user, that's probably enough for them to be happy with. And then when you get into the higher end phones, the flagship phones, those will be the ones that have full Qi2 support.
Yeah. Maybe a question for you, Ben. Will Qi2 be backwards compatible? So meaning if you have a Qi2 charger, will it still charge a Qi1 point whatever phone?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then it would be an easy one. Like you could literally say, well, old phones still work. Like get a case with the magnets and you can still use the Qi2's charger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only real difference is because everything is magnetically aligned.
Mm-hmm.
Everything will charge faster with Qi2.
Yeah, I mean, you will probably have a little bit of loss because of the case. That's usually that's normal. Like it might not be a lot, but there's a little bit. But I mean, you have that either way. Like, I mean, I have that with my case right now. So
yeah,
not that I would ever notice or know. So.
Oh, I just caught something in Ben's article from Android Authority. Here we go. Found it again. Sorry about that. An updated version of Qi2, so it'll be Qi2 Vision 1, will roll out in mid-2024, and that's going to add in fast wireless charging support.
Okay, so they're adding magnets in 2.0, and then they're adding higher charging speeds in 2.1.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I mean, they're doing that all the time anyway. That's why we have, as I said, I think it's 1.4 or 1.5 already.
Mm-hmm.
Because they added more speeds.
Mm-hmm. And in the initial Qi2 rollout, they are saying compatibility, or, well, they're saying targeting phones and wireless earbuds only.
Yeah, okay. How is that? I think I'm excited for. I mean, I'm honestly, I'm excited for my friends who are on Android. I mean, it might take a couple of years for this to trickle down to all the phones and the cheaper ones, especially. But I mean, I know how much I love MagSafe. I mean, I barely use anything else. Like at the times when I plug in are usually when I'm developing, because Apple and wireless anything. Forget that.
Mm-hmm.
So cable debugging is still working way better. But that's the only time. And other than that, I'm like, everything is MagSafe.
Yeah. I mean, literally, since I'm using continuity camera, my camera is, or my phone is being literally used as a 4K camera held on by MagSafe right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's so awesome. It's so versatile. I mean, you can have like a car mount, and instead of like fiddling into it and whatever, you just like plop it onto the magnet, and the magnet is strong enough that it doesn't go flying when you whatever have to.
Yeah. Whatever. And literally that's how I mount my phone in my car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's a little thing, but it's.
Yeah, who would know that few magnets would make such a difference?
No,
right? Car manufacturers. I can see where car manufacturers that are already supporting Qi in their cars or in their different models, they will transition over to Qi2.
Mm-hmm. In about 10 years.
Yes, because that's how car manufacturers work. Yeah, but they'll do it. And now... At that point, it doesn't matter which phone you're getting, as long as it has G2 support in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're just dropping your phone on the magnets in the car.
That's so awesome. Think about it. I mean, exactly. I mean, manufacturers have built some things where there were like little cradles so the phone wouldn't slide around. But you always had the problem that, I mean, with the cradles is always a problem of, okay, how big is your phone? You might have a small phone, you might have a big phone, and depending on that, it might still slide around. But with the magnets, you don't need the cradle. Just need a place to prop it onto, and the magnets will hold it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No matter how big or small, I mean, given that you have enough space for the phone to begin with, but no matter how big or small it is, it will just be held in place.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know people who have on their desks, like they have their phone next to their monitor and just plop it on there.
Mm-hmm.
It charges, it shows everything you need.
Yep.
Honestly, I've thought about that.
Yeah, I actually have two Qi chargers sitting on my desk right now. Neither are Apple. one for my AirPods, and the other one was a Kickstarter thing that I got where it's a stand. Hold your phone. You sit your phone in there, and then there's a motor and sensor in the stand, and it raises and lowers the Qi disk until it finds the right point on your phone to charge, and then it just stops.
I have a cheapo one that I got from a previous sponsor of BTN. So,
and I got my good old phone salesman Qi Stone. There we go.
Yeah, nice. Clearly it's a very porous stone because we could see light right through it.
Yes.
True.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Qi 2 on everything and not having this as just a proprietary Apple thing.
And by the way, Jeff, did I don't know if you ever realized, if you ever thought about that. Glass is just stone that light can travel through.
It's true. As someone told me a long time ago, glass is actually in a liquid state all the time.
Glass is officially a super cooled liquid.
Hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, so it's a liquid rock that you can see through.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, it literally has the lowest viscosity of any liquid in the planet. But I mean, if you wait long enough, glass will actually get thicker at the bottom and thinner at the top as it flows.
So when it rains, you're diluting your windows.
No.
Oh, come on, Ben. That was funny.
That would have been
funny. That was.
But now you know why, like, now you know why your wine glass is always slipping out of your hand.
Yes.
It's because it's a liquid holding exactly. A liquid.
It's a liquid holding a liquid.
Ben, what's your cat's name?
His name is Leo.
Leo is officially our fourth panel member today. So welcome, Leo. Did Leo bring a story?
Yeah.
Well, no, but he has tried to knock off the camera and smell up the room.
All right. So so a manager. Great.
Of course.
Patrice, do you have a story?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Exactly. I do. I had a couple stories that I could have brought today because I really didn't want to talk about Twitter again. But I think this one was enough of a story or enough of a thing that people should be aware of. So apparently, I mean, we talked about like Twitter going bankrupt and all of that last week. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I think Musk tweeted that. Yeah, still this month, exactly. It feels like last month, but it's still this month. Musk said in a tweet that they would free up 1.5 billion usernames because they've been inactive. I mean, that has been a problem with Twitter. Like, I had I want to say, no, over 10 years ago, 12 years ago, there was an account that I wanted that was inactive for like 4 years and I could not get it. They didn't tweet, they didn't read anything. Like, it was literally dead. Never set up. I think there was one tweet and it couldn't get it. Twitter never did anything with it. But that's not the thing that is about the story. I mean, that in itself, I would be like, huh, yeah, okay, let them delete it, whatever. Mm-hmm. Musk has also signaled that, or there's a rumor at least, that they might actually auction off the tweet, their account. Which, given how little, like how many issues they have with money, makes total sense. But mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I mean, it's their, whatever, it's their platform, they can do it. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, how desperate must you be that you're gonna auction off your account, your inactive account, like just delete them and then auction off them to new people?
Let me put it this way. They just kicked out of their Singapore Asia headquarters last night.
That's true.
Ouch. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens when a company doesn't pay the rent.
That's exactly what happens. Yep. Mm-hmm. Auctioning off dead account names seems, or it smacks of desperation. For someone like me, I can see where I now need to set up an automation to periodically post on a couple other accounts that I have that I grabbed mm-hmm. specifically so no one else would have Jeff Gamet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just automate that. Every time you're on air, it just posts something near that.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what I need to do.
Mm. I can give you a bot for that, by the way.
Oh, thank
you.
We
have a BTN bot who does that. So,
well, then problem solved for me.
Mm.
Hey, we just came up with a show name too. There's a bot for that.
That's a good one. Let me write that down.
That's awesome.
I mean, what is there not a bot for?
Paying Elon's bills.
Oh, yeah, I bet he tried. I bet he tried. Yeah. Them not paying their bills is a giant red flag. And I don't think it's not that they don't have money. I don't think they're there yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Elon being Elon. He's like, I don't give a F. I'm like, I'm above everything, and if we don't need the office and I can save some money, I'm going to save some money. I don't care. I think that's more likely what's happening.
Yeah.
For now. I mean, heard about like not paying employees, or at least not paying what they said they would. I think in mm-hmm. some cases, not paying at all. No communication with employees. There's some lawsuits about that now.
Yeah. Last year, there was the whole problem, I think it was in Germany, where Twitter employees were manually entering paycheck info
mm-hmm.
to get people paid because their automatic deposits weren't happening. Just mm-hmm. no one was getting paid.
Yeah, I mean, that can happen. Like, I mean, that's anything automatic can fail. No, but last year, like when the whole letting people go thing happened, I think they tried to wiggle out of that. And I think Ireland, some people sued and won an injunction. Actually, mm-hmm. I think won an even injunction against getting fired because that wasn't legal the way they did it. Stuff like that. So figure mm-hmm. that. As I said, like it's there's a whole. As I said, it is a giant red flag when companies like if they had just said, okay, whatever, we don't need the office space anymore, and we're gonna like they talk to the landlord and say, okay, hey, can we figure out a way to get out of this?
Which is not what Elon's doing.
No, I don't think he even tried.
No.
I mean, I don't know, but I don't think so.
It feels very Elon to just send everyone home or fire them, turn off the lights, and walk away from a building and just not say anything to anyone about what they did.
Yeah. You have to be at the office even if there is no office.
Exactly. And the office doesn't get cleaned, by the way. Because he also fired the cleaning staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing with employees bringing their own rolls of toilet paper to work so they'll have some. What in the wide world?
That is the point where I would be like, okay, where's the next job? Yeah, I'm not bringing toilet paper.
Yeah, set up offices as mini dormitory rooms for staff.
Mm-hmm.
And then get rid of the people that do all the cleaning.
That's gonna smell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something else.
Yep.
I have to say, if they were that far on the Singapore office, can't be that long until the San Francisco landlord does the same thing.
Yeah, especially, I mean, just think about, I don't know the prices in Singapore, like what an office costs there, but I would wager that San Francisco, and San Francisco office is probably a bit more expensive.
Yeah.
I would assume so.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but just my guess.
Yeah. Hey, this is one of those rare situations where I'm bringing a story to the show, too.
Oh, Jeff.
What?
Do you even have one? Do you even know how this works?
I had two, and you brought the first one I was going to bring, okay, Patrice.
Nice.
My second one is a Twitter story also, and this is about the massive user account hack that they had, and Twitter is saying actually all of the emails that for user accounts that were accumulated, this was not in fact from a new hack.
Hmm.
Yeah, 5.4 million accounts. So supposedly not passwords, but this is a 200 million accounts. So it's 5.4 million accounts at one point, and now another 200 million accounts. This is really good reason to have two-factor authentication set up on your account.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the reason for it. I think the reason for it is if you don't, then it doesn't matter what your email address is or your password is, at some point it's going to get hacked.
Yeah. Okay. That's a much more elegant way to say it. Yes. Yeah. So apparently there are email addresses and phone numbers. Oh, crap. I missed seeing that when I read this earlier. 400 million accounts. And
it's getting even bigger.
Yeah. So in December, a hacker who had 400 million email addresses and phone numbers linked to Twitter accounts approached Twitter and said, I will sell this to you exclusively. And now here's the thing with data theft like that. If they've already stolen your data and are willing to sell it back to you, there's no reason to trust that when they say, and it will not get into anyone else's hands, that it will not get into anyone else's hands. And you should assume it already is in other people's hands.
Yes. I mean, especially, the word hack here maybe from a, I don't know, maybe from a legal sense, it still is one. But this was a flaw in an API after an update that basically exposed them. Hence the whole EU like data protection GDPR topic behind that. So I mean, and someone just used that to siphon off as much data as they could. I mean, it's quite easy to get email addresses from people and just try them and see which accounts come back. I mean, that is the, I mean, just look at how much spam you get. That is the easiest thing in the world to have email addresses. Like big, massive, billions of email addresses, just try it. So yeah, I mean, this is not, I said, I wouldn't necessarily call this a hack. I think legally it probably still is. It's still an exploit, yeah, but it's not like hacking into a server to get access to the database or something.
Yeah.
The API is exposed and it's just, you just get it.
And someone took advantage of that.
And someone took advantage of it. Yeah. But as you said, there's, I mean, that is true for all, like for all of them. Whether it's ransomware, whether it's like, because ransomware these days usually, like the ransom itself is one thing, but they usually also siphon off data that they can extort people with. And they try. Mm-hmm. And I think very few companies are paying because, as you said, it's not like, who's to say that they have even any data that's of any value?
Right.
And like, who's to say they're actually going to do what they say? Because they've already proven that you can't trust them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're willing to pay once, you're probably willing to pay twice. So
for sure.
Expect to get hit up again and again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. As I said, how bad is this? I mean, from a privacy perspective, bad. I mean, you know which email addresses are valid-ish, at least. I mean, some of them might still be fake, but valid-ish. You know which user accounts are connected to which email address. That might help you with some very targeted hacking. It will definitely help you with some very targeted hacking. If I wanted to get into Jeff Gamet's accounts, I would just look you up. Mm-hmm. I know I don't have to guess. I mean, it's probably anyway not so hard, but I don't even have to guess.
Yeah, it's shockingly easy to find multiple email addresses for me.
Yeah, I mean, not a surprise because that's how most people do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as I said, so, but I don't think that was a big hurdle anyway. But I mean, it just removes the whatever 3 seconds to figure out the email address.
Yes.
Well, I expect we're going to have just an ongoing stream of news reports about data theft, data leaks, and
phishing.
Other security breaches.
Phishing is probably a big... Phishing, I think, is going to be a big issue. Because with this, you can send very convincing phishing attacks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you know exactly which email address is connected exactly to which account. So you can say, hey, the JGamut account with this email address needs to log in to change their password. Right?
Yeah. So dear NoPants at NoPants.com.
Mm-hmm. See, Ben has my email addresses.
Yeah.
Yep. You also have Commando at pantsfree.com, right?
Yeah. And yes. I mean, don't forget about the pants domain. There is probably Jeff at no.pants.
Yes.
Holy crap, is that
I don't even know if this is a real domain. I just made it up.
Well, I'm checking right now.
If that domain is available, Jeff will own it by the end of the show.
Let's see. Huh. Well, it might be available. However, when you start doing searches for no pants, you do get some interesting results. Huh.
Yes.
Yes, we will not be seeing Jeff's Google here.
It's, yeah. Anyhow, Also, lots of Google image search results show up with that too. Yeah.
All of them are of you, right?
Most of them are me, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah.
So, so the a problem I see for Twitter with this going forward is that Elon has gutted so much of the staff and has lost so much of the institutional knowledge because of I think the company is going to have a hard time keeping on top of their own system security.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially since there's probably not a lot of people left who, I mean, would it have the capacity to do it? Would you even know how to do it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about it. If they let go about half of the company. So there's about half of, okay, let's say a third of the knowledge that left.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because when people leave, there's always something that just gets forgotten, whatever. And especially when you leave short notice.
Mm-hmm.
Or get let go. Short notice. And then from the rest, probably half of them left already.
Mm-hmm.
So what's left?
Yeah, and I mean, from the way those people were let go, if there's a question for them, they're probably going to tell the current Twitter employees where to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not sanitary.
Yes. I mean, no. To be perfectly honest here, despite what he says his resume is, we clearly have a person running Twitter who does not understand how to manage.
Oh, no. I think there was no doubt about that ever. Like, even back in the, whatever, late 90s.
Yeah. When you look at Elon's other big ventures, Tesla and SpaceX, those are companies that were established with a structure that allowed them to have a handling team, is what I call it, for Elon.
Yes.
And so they have a whole team that just manages Elon so that the company can do what it's supposed to do without completely imploding. When Elon came into Twitter, the systems weren't there to create that insulating structure. And mm-hmm. So now we get to see Elon Unchained.
Yeah.
Here's another show title.
We're off to a great start with show titles.
Oh, yes. Yeah, by the way, I checked the official IANA top-level domain list, and .pand is at least not yet a domain.
That's unfortunate.
Jeff, you should go in and just like petition to have that domain. Like, it should be the Jeff Gamet domain.
It should. And mm-hmm. then once it's set up, I'll go to TSO Hosts and have them help me buy the domain that I need.
Yes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so TSO Hosts, I love them because they can help me if Pant or Pants becomes a TLD, and then we can have just all of these amazing Jeff-themed websites. What they're doing for BTN, they're being incredibly generous, and they're giving us the bandwidth we need to be able to stream content like this, where you get to hear amazing show titles pop up every single week. And without what they are generously giving to us, we would not be able to be here today or any other day, because the resources just go beyond what we could afford to make happen. So they do that for us. They also give us the hosting space we need so that we can have the website up and running every single day, super reliably. And then we have a place for all of the show files to live. So when you watch or listen to your favorite episodes later on, those can actually stream out to you because they have a place to live. So we are so happy that TSO Host is here helping us out. And what they're asking of us in return is some online love. So go out to your favorite social media platform and let TSO hosts know that you appreciate that they are here supporting the British Tech Network. And then when you're ready to start buying your domain names, hit them up for that because they're really good at that. And when you need some web hosting, hey, there they are. And it gets even better because when you get to the checkout, you can use the discount code BTN20 and get 20% off your order. So thank you, TSO hosts, for being here supporting the British Tech Network. And Patrice, I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't start off the year by saying, can you please tell people where to find the chat?
Oh, I totally can. Right after I have checked whether pants.no is actually available. I'll double check that. Actually, it's telling me it can't check that. Okay, I'll have to find a different type. Okay, chat. We wanted to talk about the chat. It's quite easy. If you're listening to this live, which today might be pretty hard, I just saw Dave G65 or Dave from the big show, from the Mac show usually, but he's been on the big show, come into the chat. But most people probably don't know we're recording this live right now because we within whatever 45 minutes decided to do the show 2 hours early. 2 hours early, yeah.
Yeah, surprise.
That's surprise. Exactly. So that's most people probably didn't notice unless you're following us on the social medias like Mastodon, for example, because there we posted that. Hi Dave, by the way.
Hi Dave.
Yeah, if you're listening to this live, or if you want to listen to this live in the future, which you can do usually 7 p.m. UK time, 7 p.m., not 5 p.m., 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, and also 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show on Friday. So Thursdays, 7 p.m. big, Fridays, 4 p.m. Mac, big Mac. If you're like listening to us live, then you can just head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and that's it. You're in. Easy as that. But let's say you are listening to us after the fact in your favorite podcast player of choice. And we're available anywhere that you can play podcasts. You can still see what we've talked about, like all the cool stories that we just posted and the link to the list of domains, for example, and the cool things that are coming up, all of that, all the cool links, everything we've talked about, you can still get to. In order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then there is a little calendar that pops up, and you select today's date, which is the 12th of January, 2023, and then you're in. You could see everything.
Awesome. Patrice, thank you for doing that.
Welcome.
So now it's time to do some cool things. Who has the first cool thing?
Did you say something, Jeff? I was thinking about the Big Mac show. It's almost noon here.
Oh, I see where you went with that. It's very clever. Next week we'll do the Quarter Pounder show, and that's all the McDonald's sandwiches I can remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The chicken McNugget show. I will go first here, if that's all right with everybody.
Please do.
And I also cannot currently post in the chat, so I put that elsewhere. Where others can see it, but
I'll put that in the chat.
Oh, yep, thank you.
For laptop owners, I think this is quite possibly a lifesaver. And now I'm thinking about candy. Thanks, Ben. But it is the.
Let me guess, you're hungry.
Yes.
Candy. It is. She's so nice.
It is the new Microsoft member pad. I mean, at first glance, yeah, it's a 10-key number pad, which if you have most laptops, unless you have one of those 17 or 18-inch behemoths, you're not going to have one of those on your laptop. Yeah, well, this will not only work on this will not only work on your laptop. Let's just say you have to have another laptop for work, or you have more than one computer. Well, this is multi-device. It will work on up to 3 different devices.
Oh, nice. Okay. Nice.
And at $30, it's actually quite affordable for something that's actually from a known company.
Will it work with an iPad?
I will have to check that out.
I mean, I would assume it's Bluetooth, right? So any yeah, Bluetooth, Bluetooth device?
Yeah, I'm assuming anything, it would just work.
Yeah. I mean, my Logitech, the solar powered thing, that was totally working with an iPad.
Nice.
So yeah. I would assume so, yeah.
All right. So $30 and you have a nice 10-key pad for your laptop, your iPad, and or Android tablet. Mm-hmm. All right, that's really cool, and free 2 and 3 day shipping. Well, at least in the U.S.
Yeah, and you can, and they're available everywhere. I think I got mine at Best Buy.
Oh, there you go. Cool. Awesome. I love it. All right, Patrice, what do you have?
My cool thing is a service, and I'm just opening up their website so I can tell you more about the pricing and so on, because I barely remember anything about them. It's Canva. So nice. It's, I don't know, you might not have heard of Canva. It's like an online design service. So means if you have to design, I don't know, flyers for your like for a party, like some any kind of whatever paper, stationery, online, like backgrounds for, I don't know, for what, videos, like very very popular, and what I'm using it quite often for is anything for video streaming. Like if you want to have like these nice subscribe buttons, or like the, I mean, this lower third that I have here is from Camo, but you could design something like that in Canva. Logos, anything simple like that. It's not, I mean, Canva is a tool to do that, and it's not like a full editor, like a Photoshop or anything like that, because I mean those services exist, but it's also very very hard to do in a browser. Instead, what Canva does and what makes it really powerful is it makes the things that you most want to do very easy. Like if you, as I said, if you want to create a background for your live streams, for example, or for your Zoom calls, and you don't want to download something like a photo somewhere from a website, you just want to design, like, I don't know, you have your own business and you want to design your own business background, but have your logo and whatever. Like the simple things where it's like, okay, like a colored background, maybe some logo on it, or some text, or a frame around you or something. Like you can totally do that very, very easily in Canva. And I'm using it a lot. Like some of the BTN banners that you saw, also the American Tech Network, by the way, all the American Tech, everything from American Tech Network was all done in Canva. All the logos, the banners, the like everything. I did all of that in Canva. I'm doing it for my app icon, and some of the, like the app I'm working on, some of the, like this, the images for app store and subscription info and so on. All of it I did in Canva, because it was super easy. Like I said, for really complicated or like advanced stuff, probably want to go with like a proper app, but for the simple, I just need a nice background with some text on it that says, okay, name, whatever, logo of the app, name of the app, and whatever, 2 lines. Takes you 5 minutes in Canva.
Canva, to me, is like the modern web-based version of print shop.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. It definitely, yeah, I think kind of is. There is, like, it's not free. It's quite, I would say, inexpensive, but it's not free. You can have entire teams, obviously, with like however many people you want. There is a free version, which has some limited templates, some limited designs, some limited options, like especially on the export side, limited cloud storage. It's definitely worth trying out. Just give the free version a try. I just started paying for it, and it's like, what was it, $9.99 a month or something like that, I think. For a person, like, you can have an entire team in there. They have special pricing for teachers in schools, or if you're a nonprofit or open source software or something. They're quite good. As I said, I love it. I'm not gonna lie, their Mac app is, it's one of those web wrapper thingies. But it works actually quite well. The exporting was something I had to get used to. It's a bit strange how you export things. But they can do, by the way, also is animations and videos, little things. Like, oh, if you cool. want a animated, I don't know. Yeah, you have a lower third that flies in on the screen, like for your streams. Quite easy to do in Canva. So they support that, like video animations and so on. You can have, I mean, it's not a video editor again, but if you just want some animated loop for some, I don't know, some conference, and you want to have something running on the TV in the background and just like have a nice animation and loops through some screens, whatever, you can do that.
Nice.
So highly recommend Canva. As I said, it's not the cheapest, $9.99 a month. But you can cancel it anytime, like if you don't need it anymore. As far as I know, you don't lose. I mean, other than storage might be a problem, but you don't lose anything. You just can't create new designs or change the designs. But the designs you've created, they're yours.
Awesome. All right. Well,
that is a great service.
Mm-hmm.
So my pick this week is my pen. And this is the I never realized that there was a separate company name with it. So apparently it's Big Eye Design, but it's the Titanium Arto EDC pen. And So here's what I love about it. The tip is whatever you want. Okay, so if you have a favorite pen refill that you like to use, this is like a universal pen. And this end here, it just unscrews and to release the clamp. And then on the back end, this just pulls out. So you can change the length of the pen if you're not going to use the cap on it. And then you just pop your insert down in through there. This back on, and you get your pen. And it's machined titanium, so it looks really nice. It's a super lightweight pen, and you can use whatever your favorite pen cartridge is in here. It's a $90 pen, but holy crap, it's a really, really good feeling pen. So this is like my daily driver, and when I got mine, it was available just like this as the machined aluminum. You can get it in two other colors now, so you can get a matte black, which I'm assuming they're just anodizing the metal, and then there's also a kind of a gray version, and I think that's like a powder coat that they're doing on that one. So anyhow, it works with whatever insert you want. It feels really nice. And Bob Beach is saying writing with a pen. What is that? Bob, you are absolutely right. And yet here I am with more technology on my desk than we use to send people to the moon. And I still have a notepad and a pen, and I use them all the time. So $90, absolutely amazing pen. And I don't know if you can get it any place other than Jet Pens. All right. Excuse me.
Yeah. So I heard a rumor that Apple will be buying them soon, and it'll be renamed the Pen Ultra.
It'll be the Pen Ultra. Yes. And and it'll stay titanium, but they will chamfer the edges.
Yes. And there will be an action button.
I'll show you my action button. All right.
We get kicked off the show, Jeff.
Ben, if we haven't been kicked off yet, it's not going to happen. Just saying. Yeah. Hey, Patrice, where can people find you?
You can find me every week here on The Big Show, also on The Mac Show on Fridays, by the way. So tomorrow. You can find out everything I'm doing, like the projects, the podcast, the social media links, the whatever, like everything I'm doing, literally. I'm linking on thepatrice.com. So head over there. You can find everything I'm doing. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food-related stories and memories, there is a podcast called Foodie Flashback where I interview those people. And by the way, all the stuff on foodieflashback.com designed with Canva. Just saying. So yeah, head over there.
Awesome. Ben, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me, at least in the interim, at raythinktech.blogspot.com. You can also find me at Ben Raythink on all your social media.
Awesome. I'm so happy both of you are here today. Oh, I should tell people where they can find me. Jay Gamut on the various social platforms. The ones that I'm most active on right now are Mastodon and Instagram. I guess by extension, that means Twitter as well. But yeah, so anyhow, you can find me on the different social platforms, Jay Gamut. Tuesdays, most Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live, Chuck Joyner Show. Then here on Thursdays on The Big Show, and most Thursday evenings on In Touch with iOS, Dave Ginberg Show. Hi, Dave. And then on Fridays on The Mac Show, also on The Context Machine, because Brian Chaffin and I teamed up again. I think I got all the shows that I'm doing regularly right now. I hope I did. Anyhow, I get around. Google me. I'm easy to find. Okay. So thank you. Thank you to both of you for being here today. This has been so much fun, and I really appreciate that you're both flexible enough to accommodate the fact that that my schedule got completely screwed up today. So I do appreciate that. Hey, thank you to everyone that's here that figured out that I had screwed up our schedule today and still managed to show up. You rock, and you are awesome for being able to manage the screwy times. For everyone that's watching or listening later, but you're off the hook on that one because you're watching at when you want and not when I screwed up our times. But thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Hey, a big shout out to TSO Host for being here supporting us. Give them some online love. Thanks, Mueller, for making sure that we do have people for the shows. You are our in-house cat herder, and you're doing a bang up job. Let's see. Have I forgotten anyone that I want to thank? I don't think I have. I will give Ewan a shout out. His schedule has prohibited him from being able to join us on shows for a while. Ewan, we do miss you, and you're awesome. And we would not be here if it were not for you. So
Thank we wouldn't you, be Bjorn. Here on the American Tech Network if it wasn't for you.
That's right. Yes. That's right. And we occasionally do have guests from our former oppressors, the UK.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
But well, but as of now, the colonies are once again your boss.
Yeah. Which is kind of crazy because right now we can barely boss ourselves.
Yes.
Wow. All right. Well, thanks again to everyone. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow, regular time, for the Mac Show. And then join us next week, so next Thursday, for the big show again. And then the following Friday for the Mac Show. Everyone have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you tomorrow.